Grantim means not. This isn't our heart. There is a tight knot. It is called ahankara or false ego. In the second chapter of the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam gives us more information of this knot and how to cut it. Vidyate Hridaya Grantis Chityante Sarva Sankshayaha. Sankshaya means doubt. Chiyante Chasya Karamani Drishta Etvad Manishvare. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of rooted action is terminated when one sees the self as master. See, this knot in the heart is giving us doubts in spiritual existence. Although we are pure spiritual souls, because we are tied with our ahankara to this material existence, we suffer. Imagine there wouldn't be any false ego. You would be a transcendental saint in Krishna consciousness, Brahma Bhuta, Prasan Atma, fully joyful, without any hankering or lamentation whatsoever. You would constantly remember Krishna. You would not fall asleep in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. It wouldn't be possible because you would not identify with this material body and you would not be under the control of the material body. It is only due to false ego that we are attached. When this knot is cut into pieces, we will stop acting like monkeys in this world, meaning for sense enjoyment. But we will see the self as master, that means we will have self-realization and know that the self is superior to the intelligence, mind and senses, and to engage only in Krishna's devotion and service. Nothing else. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now, to solve the knot, what should we do? Should we, with our own strength, try to disentangle it? It is practically impossible, because this knot has been carefully tied over many births and deaths. We were tying this knot when we were a cockroach. I'm a cockroach. We were tying this knot when we were going up through the lower species to the higher species. I am a tiger, I am a bird, I am a human being, I am a professor, I am a gypsy. The knot is very, very strong. It's not a small thing, you know. It's tied through many words in there. It keeps us entangled in this material life. Now, the strongest expression of this knot and the strongest activity for increasing, for tightening this knot is what? Jatakash, give us an explanation. No, what? Tight knot, not what? Untied the knot. I think Nityananda Ram needs an answer. Guneshwara Prabhu. Yes! Thank you very much. You have enlightened us. Guneshwara Nur. This is what each time it becomes stronger. Each time. And then we are so much in false ego. The more a person surrenders the sex life, the more he becomes finished. Ravana's women from here to here, they had 12 different colors. 1, 2, 3, 4. You understand? Mm-hmm. It is sometimes women, they put some color on here. So they had 12 different colors. Modern man also is very much involved in increasing the attachment to the material body. There are many scientists finding out what would be the right lipstick to match the color of the eyebrow. It's a highly important subject matter, which is studied by the greatest brain in the pharmaceutical industry. Yes. Pharmaceutical sky industry. So, due to this attachment, men are working like anything to increase their possessions, to have a car, to become known in society as someone who is important. In fact, according to one ecologist called Marshall, The sexual attraction is a driving force of material advancement. Sometimes you see when you're young, your friends there, no one cares what to dress. One just plays around and fools around. And then one day you see one of your friends dressed in a white shirt and having a pen, this, do not know, is it? And you say, what has happened? Why are you dressed like this? I have a girlfriend and she doesn't like if I go like a bum. So then he begins to do you remember when you were little boys, the seventh? I remember my friends all of a sudden. They changed. They didn't want to run with me through the dirty streets, you know, and they didn't want to wrestle anymore. They became very, very attached to being, to look nice, to represent something in society, and later became, of course, materialist. Yeah, a materialist is so covered by this false ego, he can practically not move any longer. Yeah, he is not free any longer to do what he likes. He has to surrender completely, or the book distributors know it. You give the book to this, to one particular man. Or you can do the same thing with a woman. There's no difference. Please, those of you who are in Mataji bodies, you can please just exchange, when I say man with woman, then you have the same knowledge available to you. When you give a book to the man, then he wants to have it, and then his wife says, "Egon, we need the money for something else. Don't you remember? Don't you remember? Don't you remember?" And then she has to give the book back. He has to give the book back. Have you seen this, Purujit? Many times, isn't it? And then he looks, and then he has to surrender, because he knows it will be hellish. And in the evening she will say, "No, you bought a book." So this is described here in this particular verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This knot within the heart, which becomes so strong that people cannot move any longer. They can't, especially they cannot move to the spiritual world. It is described in the 6th chapter of the 2nd canto, Padastrayo Bahischasan Aprajanam Yaashramaha Antastri Lokyastvaparo Grihamedo Brihatvata. The spiritual world, which consists of the 3/4 of the Lord's energy, is situated beyond this material world, and it is especially meant for those who will never be reborn. Others who are attached to family life and who do not strictly follow celibacy vows must live within the 3 material world. This is in the 2nd canto, chapter 6, verse 20. It is a very important verse for those who are in the Brahmachari order, and also for those Grihasthas who want to perform the vow of celibacy. It is this knot which binds you to the material energy and which keeps you from moving towards the spiritual energy. Therefore, if someone is just following the vow of celibacy, he can attain the higher planets just by doing this, nothing else. He will be able to move very high. But the more one is attached, the lower one stays. In the Vedic civilization, sexual life was only there for 1/4 of the human being's existence. One would start as a brahmachari, then move into a grihastha life, where there was a concession for sexual life, then move into vanaprastha life, where one would still be with his wife, but where one would only associate for Krishna katha and pilgrimages. And then there was finally the ashram of sannyas, where there was no attachment any longer to no contact with the opposite sex. This was this was made so that the knot in the heart would be cut into pieces, and we would be an upward mover. We would move back home, back to Godhead. See, there was only 1/4 of human life. There was a limited allowance for
this sexual activity. You can see from this that it was not to be considered very, very important. For instance, eating we do in all four vanas, and also sleeping, and some sort of defense is also there by dressing against the cold weather, for instance, and by taking care that our bodies are not destroyed in this world. But this one activity, Srinivas Prabhu, this one activity was reduced as much as possible, because this would be the not to material existence. So we in our movement for Krishna consciousness didn't have the opportunity to be trained as brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. We had a different education, as you all know. The vow of brahmachari is actually a very great vow, and it considers 8 aspects. One should not intimately associate with women. Therefore, in our temples, we have separate quarters for men and women, and also separate facilities for showering and doing all these things. We eat in a separate way. This is not something I know when guests come for the first time, they think this is somehow an unnatural principle. But no, if you want to be an upward mover in your life, this is very important. Then, not talking with women, because even while talking with women, or when women talk with men, there is great chance that due to our previous habits, we will consider each other in terms of our material bodies and our attractive or disattractive bodily features. And then when there's talk, then there's thought of the opposite sex. Then one should not joke with women. This is very important for Sankirtan devotees. When you are contact women, or if the Matajis contact men, a kind of an atmosphere has to be created that he feels like taking the book. But we have to be very careful not to make this atmosphere too intimate. We might think, oh, we have to come very close to the person. But there are other ways. By being strong yourself, people will like to associate with you. You don't have to come down to their level. They will want to come up to your level. So it is not good to joke intimately with women. Especially, I do not know if this is going, if this is in Yugoslavia, but in Germany we had for men at some time the paraphernalia distribution. And our brahmacharis were experiencing difficulties because they would have to talk on a very worldly level with the people. They would have to say this, here you see this, and here you see that, there is a bird flying, or you know, some subject matter which was very worldly. They would have to talk on it, and in this way the atmosphere would, worldly atmosphere was created, and they experienced some difficulties. You all know brahmacharis on the street. It is so wild these days. Sometimes women immediately extend an invitation to one. Please come up in my room. I have very nice facilities for enjoyment. This is which is happening. So not dallying or joking with women. They're not being together in one room with women. For those who are brahmacharis, And especially those who are in the renounced order of life, it is not good if they talk with one woman in one room. It is not very good. Then, thinking of sex life, making arrangements for sex life, and then engaging in sex life. I think these three points are crystal clear and do not need any comment. So, brahmachari training is very important, because by following these rules we reduce the heaviness of our knot in the heart. Another way of reducing the knot in the heart is to follow the order of the spiritual master very detailed. Once there was a brahmachari, his name was Upaplavya. Yeah. So Upaplavya Prabhu was learning from Domya Rishi. Domya Rishi one day told him, "My dear Upaplavya, you are so fat. Why are you so fat? What do you eat all day?" Oh, said Upaplavya. His duty was to herd the cows. He would go in the morning with the cows and return in the evening to the ashram. So Upaplavya said, "Well, I'm begging for you." This is what brahmacharis do. They go out and collect for the spiritual master. And then I return. And when I return, I put what I begged, I put it separately, and then I go out again and beg for myself that I can eat. And people give me much. So therefore I'm so fat. "Oh, my dear child," said Domya Rishi, "this is not good. By begging a second time, you take from those who go out to beg the first time. This is not allowed. Don't go for it." So next day Upaplavya returned again. Oh, Upaplavya, you are still so fat. How comes?" I'm no longer begging for myself. I'm only begging for yourself. But I'm drinking cow milk from the cows, and there's so much milk. I get so much milk." "Oh, my dear child, this is not correct. Don't you know this milk is my milk? You cannot drink what is not your own milk." "Oh, yes, thank you," said Upaplavya. And so next evening he was returning. "Oh, Upaplavya, I'm surprised. Still you are so fat. What is the matter with you?" "Yes, how are you eating?" "Yes," said Upaplavya. "When the calves drink from the udder of the cow, they put some milk in the bucket because they love me so much." And this is how I drink the milk which the calves leave for me. And this is how I'm so fat. "Oh, this is not good. This milk is meant for the cows. For the calves, if they don't drink, they become very slobby, and they might die and later not give milk. So please don't drink this." Next evening, Upaplavya did not return. "Where is Upaplavya?" asked Domya Rishi. "Well, we saw him herding the cows," said the other disciples. So then they went and looked for Upaplavya. So Domya Rishi, it was already dark, he called into the forest, "Ho Upaplavya, ho Upaplavya, where are you, my child?" "Oh," came a voice, very lynch, "but I'm in the well. I'm here in this well. I have fallen into the well." So they went and came, and Rupa Plavya was there. But why didn't you come out? I can't see. I'm blind. But why are you blind, Rupa Plavya? Oh, I've eaten something, and this was poisonous, and has taken my vision, my eyesight. See, he went to one tree and took the leaves of the tree, and because it was dark, he mistook the leaves. He thought they were eatable leaves, but in actuality, they were the leaves of the some tree, I forgot the name, and they were poisonous, and in this way he lost his eyesight, because he could not eat anything else. He could not beg, he could not drink milk, nor could he take the milk which was left by the cows. So somehow he had to eat, and therefore he was, you know, his eyesight was robbed. Oh, what to do now, said Domya Rishi. Domya Rishi told him, you just worship the twin Ashwini Kumars. These are two brothers who have great abilities to cure, two doctors. So he worshipped them, and the Ashwini Kumars appeared before him and gave him some sweet rice to eat as a medicine. But Upa Plavya said, no, I can't eat the sweet rice. Sisi Gauranidaiki. Why can't you eat the sweet rice? It's medicine. Well, I have to give it to my spiritual master. But then you can't be cured. I don't care to be cured. I want to serve my spiritual master. He is bringing me back home, back to Godhead. What is the necessity of getting cured and risk his displeasure? So, Ashwini's Kumar said, but once we gave Domya some medicine and he didn't offer it to his spiritual master, he took it. No, but I can't. Please forgive me. Then Ashwini Kumar blessed him. They said, you have two teeth of gold, and your Domya Rishi has teeth of black iron. So we bless you that you will get your eyesight without medicine. So when Domya Rishi heard about his ideal disciple, he was so satisfied. He was so happy. He blessed him so that all the Vedic knowledge became revealed within his heart. As we know from the Shastras, those who have implicate faith in both the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead, all the knowledge of the Vedic scriptures is revealed to them. We have heard this verse many times. So he had no knot of false ego in the heart, this Upa Plavya. You must agree. He was feeling himself to be a humble servant, not a master of this world. So, and because of that, he had made wonderful, he was victorious in conquering the test of his spiritual master. The spiritual master sometimes tests us. When we are in Sankirtan, there are situations where we do not distribute much. Yesterday I met these two Prabhus in Zagreb, and the two Prabhus told me that it is very difficult to distribute. People are very much in Maya, isn't it? Uh-huh. Yes. We will come out of Maya when we become the humble servants. When we pray to Krishna with great earnestness and desire that he please allows us to satisfy our spiritual master, then he will give us all a different vision. We won't consider ourselves in the light of false ego. Now, the spiritual master is very, very satisfied when he sees this service attitude amongst his disciples, when he sees they are enthusiastic for devotional service, even if they do not accomplish much due to some reasons. He is still very satisfied when he sees that they are enthusiastic for devotional service. That's all what counts for the spiritual master. He just wants to see. But this enthusiasm for devotional service, you can't go, so to say, is so sweet that we do not like to become entangled in this knot of material existence. You might have noticed when you have good relationships with the Vaishnavas, if you serve the Vaishnavas, and if you talk nicely about the Vaishnavas, and if you are very humble towards Vaishnavas, and if you want to learn from Vaishnavas, existence becomes so easy and so pleasurable. But as soon as you become an offender of Vaishnavas, you will have a very difficult life. We know from the life of Ramachandra Puri, who made offenses against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, he made offenses against Vaishnavas first. It was very, very amazing. Let us study the life of Ramachandra Puri to understand what we should not do. He was inviting Vaishnavas and giving them prasadam. So when he gave them prasadam to eat, he was urging them, eat more, eat more, eat more. It is, please eat more. And the Vaishnavas, due to being so extremely humble, they would eat more, more, more. No, eat, eat. You know, it was going on like this. So then he said, you are eating like pigs. When he was finished, when they were finished. So, very demonic, isn't it? Imagine, to give more to a devotee, and out of his humbleness he eats more. Then you just make such an offense towards him. This is terrible. So because of making offense against the Vaishnavas, he later made offense against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this was, these two kinds of offenses were throwing him back into material life. It is described when his spiritual master, Srila Madhavendra Puri, was in the process of giving up his body, he chased away Ramachandra Puri from his association. He rejected him, actually. He didn't want to have anything to do with him. And later he became an impersonalist. What a punishment. So, so it all starts from offenses against Vaishnavas. If you want to cut the knot of material existence, if you do not want to suffer, then do not make offenses against Vaishnavas. And if you want to stay a materialist forever, maybe even a successful materialist, just make offenses against Vaishnavas every day, every minute, every second. This indirect. Of course we don't want this. So the association with Vaishnavas becomes especially sweet if we associate for service. It should be practical, not that we say, oh, so and so, oh Purujit Prabhu, you are the sum total of 25 moons. Your association is very cooling and pleasing. And when I see you, I am reminded of Dhanvantari. And so on and so forth. and praising. It should be practical. Purujit Prabhu is a Sankirtan leader, very old Sankirtan devotee, so we should say, Purujit Prabhu, Kripa Doyal Prabhu, please arrange that I can come on your Sankirtan party. I want to serve with you the Transcendental Book Distribution Mission. Yes, we should. Immediately when there are older devotees, we should just grab the lotus feet. Please, Prabhu, I am very fallen. Please let me go with you. We should do this. This is my only tip in devotional service. Just run to older devotees, beg for their mercy. Please instruct me, what should I do with my life? And serve this to them. Then it becomes practical. Or if they are younger devotees, we should serve them. We should give them proper knowledge. We should not only give them an apple and some piece of bread. This is also important, but we should also give them spiritual understanding. And if there are devotees like us, we should make friends with them. But not by talking nonsense and all night. Why are you laughing, Jagadatu? I had a realization. He can't even sit for one lecture without joking with some friend, you know. Yesterday, you probably, anyways, mercy on you. I have to practice tolerance. Chantier. Making friends doesn't mean to talk nonsense. And becoming like a body, you know, embracing and giggling and then saying some offense to the other. It is not that. It is not at all required, especially not for brahmanas. Sorry, this is actually not good. And now I say something in brackets. It is not good if in the lecture, which is a philosophical lecture, the lecturer gives some personal instruction. It's not so well, but I just couldn't control my tongue for 1 minute. Please excuse me. It is not good. So, making friendship with those who are on an equal level, instructing those who are on a lower level, and running and getting the mercy of those who are in a higher level. This should especially be practiced now in noontime. Yeah, a great Vaishnava is gracing our association and will turn this place into the spiritual world. So we should be very conscious. We should practice how we would act in the spiritual world during these 4 days, if possible. And be very exemplary, talk very pleasantly, not only in Pregrada, but when we go out on Sankirtan, take care that we follow everything nicely and take the mercy of the Vaishnavas in great buckets as much as we can get. Very important principle. So, but amongst ourselves, we should learn how to associate and cultivate nice Vaishnava Sangha. When there is nice Vaishnava Sangha, you will not be attracted to materialistic Sangha, and the knot of the heart will be finished. It is a guarantee. There are four ways how one could criticize, or four reasons why one can criticize a Vaishnava. One is I didn't express it correctly. Four reasons why one finds fault in a Vaishnava. It's the same. One is because a Vaishnava does some accidental mistake. He might make some mistake, you know, something. It always happens. So we should not become overly critical. Another is there might be an accidental fall down. The Vaishnava, due to his bad association which he had previously, might fall down and even go so far as doing something which is not good. So we should not overly become critical, but still be merciful. Then we should not find, because Krishna will correct these faults, provided the Vaishnava is sincere. Then with a sincere Vaishnava, we should not find fault due to his previous mistakes. Like some of us might have been very wild in their previous the life before they came to Krishna consciousness. They might have taken drugs, or they might have been male and female prostitutes. We have such Vaishnavas in our association. I know in Germany there is one. Mataji. She was so heavy. I mean, when I was a preacher, because there was no one else, I had to preach to her. I was hearing all these things. I said, please have mercy on me. I'm trying. And I also know what you are talking about, unfortunately, but don't make the sound vibration. It pollutes the atmosphere. So, very heavy. Heavy when you preach to men. I mean, sometimes the preachers know what they have to hear. Isn't it? Also, when you have disciples, you sometimes hear things. You just think, I want to commit suicide. I want to finish my life. I have such useless disciples. You know, it is so disgusting what you have to hear as a preacher sometimes. Yes. So one should not find fault. One should not. They are helpless. What can they do? Then a fourth reason is, due to mistakes, due to an accidental fall down, due to his previous life, and then, oh yes, due to traces of material attachment. See, all of us wear something, and there may be attachments. For instance, someone was maybe a musician, and he is terribly attached to music. Or someone was a painter. We have many of these artists are in a category from themselves. They are sometimes quite attached. The greatest attachments I found out is painting. Someone was painting with a brush. Music is easier. You can really dive into kirtan, learn the Vaishnava instruments, and then the attachments become very small, and this small attachment can be easily dovetailed in devotional service. But painting, you know, is especially abstract art. You know, like, you know, do you know this in Yugoslavia? They take plastic, put some color in it, and then throw it against some painting, you know, and then this expresses Adolf Hitler's rage during the Second World War, you know, and so on. This is sometimes very difficult to take intoxications. It's also impossible almost to devote in devotional service. You can take a lot of sweets, but this destroys also your stomach and your digestive system. So, so anyways, there may be still traces of attachment present in one person. So we should not criticize, oh, you are from Bosnia. we should not criticize like this. If the devotee is serious, But that doesn't mean that we should not help the devotee. We should correct the devotee in a Vaishnava manner. My dear Vaishnava Thakur, please give me your blessings. I have seen something in you which I think you can, by increased devotion, overcome. Especially those who are in the position of a spiritual master, it is their duty to point out the mistakes. Because if they wouldn't point out the mistakes in their disciples, what would be the chance for them? Or also those who are temple presidents, it is their duty. We should not be angry with our temple president. Oh, Prabhu, you are not... you are always so pointing out this to me and you are pointing out that to me. We should first of all see, is he meaning well with us? And if he means well, then we can should surrender. It is a manifestation of our false ego if we become angry at an authority who tries to point out mistakes in us. What is so wonderful in keeping those mistakes, in keeping those anattas? They will bind us, they will keep the knot heavier and heavier, and then as a result we will be terribly attached to sex life, we will have difficulties in the street, we won't distribute nothing, and we will have no service attitude. We just feel from day to day. What do you think? This is something to think about. Please do not become angry at me that I'm talking all these things. But this is important. From time to time we have to discuss these. These are things which are there in our scriptures and we must know and understand them. Good. So much more can be said, but I think you might have some questions to all this. Hare Krishna. Pitanne. Pitanna. Pitanna. We were dancing like anything yesterday in Zagreb. You saw? With Sankirtani boys? Dancing like wild. And shouting, Haribol, Haribol. And another voice to pray to Krishna that because tomorrow, today we will also dance and shout like anything. Haribol, Haribol. So hopefully Krishna allows me that I keep my nasty voice. Everything is crystal clear. Yesterday and today you had questions. Now you are very sad today. One more. Yes. Yes. Dritta Vrata. Yes, the greatest vow is celibacy. Celibacy, brahmachari. It's also for brahmacharinis. This is a, now, of course, to take a vow, it is actually not in our Krishna conscious philosophy. We do not place so much meaning on the vow. Because we know we are very weak by nature. And it is all the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's the mercy that we are here. We are not here due to a vow. Nor did we stay here due to a vow. It is a mercy. More than taking a vow, it is better to pray for mercy. Then your mind, See, we take a vow to be successful in our devotion, execution of devotional service. But this even more can be achieved by praying for mercy. This is more intelligent. Because when you take a vow, Maya also knows about that. And she hears it. And she will try to spoil your vow. It is there. Especially when you take, I will be a very strong brahmachari or brahmacharini. Especially then. I can talk very frankly, very openly, because we are amongst brothers and sisters, so there is no need of a secret. By taking this sannyas vow, I can see Maya is getting agitated. And, it's very happy. Very happy to see that this is not without meaning, you know. It is something, it is for real. It's very nice. But so therefore every day I'm praying for mercy to Prabhupada that he gives meaning to this, because out of myself I'm a conditioned soul, poor conditioned soul. Who am I to take such a vow? It's only by the mercy this can stay. For me it is crystal clear. I may be very unactive, please, I do not know if, this is my nature, to be very honest amongst brothers and sisters. When I'm a preacher to Kamis, I'm different. I have to try to be very clever and bring them to Krishna's lotus feet. Here we are amongst brothers and sisters. So, more intelligent to pray for mercy. Therefore, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You have a question? He is from the military, right? He's driving a plane? Helicopter. Wonderful. Then he is a devotee. I mean, this is holidays for him.
No, I mean he
is joined.
No. He can practically his
practice. Only retired. Oh, no longer flying your plane, your helicopter. Can you ask him, please, if this Prabhu could arrange that Krishna Chaitra Prabhu is taken on a helicopter for some special shots for multivision photographs? Yeah. No difficulty for multivision. We can put the name of the highest commander in the multivision. Thank you to Mr. Vladivats Platska. He will become famous. Okay, but please, let us come to the Pitana.
Meni je poznato da Hrista je odgovoran za duhovni razvoj svoje porodice. Međutim, ukoliko članovi porodice ne prihvataju ovaj put savršenstva, koliko dugo treba ući taj, da kažem, teret uz brdo sa sobom. Pogotovo, recimo, ja imam 52 godine i nemam puno vremena. Ovo je dugo čekati, žrtvovati se i razgovarati. Da li napušiti porodicu ili i dalje ući teret uz brdo.
He said, do you know the caste is responsible for this big organization of his family? So, but if the family members are not willing to follow the spiritual life, so how long one should
stay
carry this burden? He said, considering that he has 53 years, so how long he should go on to carry this burden?
How old is the oldest son? Very good. Who is not following you? Is it a general question or a personal question? Personal. Actually, to give a, I think I will have to give a general answer because I do not know your personal situation. I do not know your family members. But if you want, we can talk and talk more about this after the outside of a lecture. It is a fact that in general we can say that one shouldn't become a parent or a spiritual master or a devata or a king if he cannot liberate those who are dependent on him from the birth and death. But when we can, but we didn't know this when we can, when we, you didn't know this properly when you were creating children, making children. What is done is done. So now you should honestly see, or one should honestly see, what can one do? If the family members repeatedly say no to Krishna consciousness, it is not even advised that one tries to preach again and again, because they make offenses. You fool, you always talk about this non-existence cloud in the sky. Why don't you become a responsible family man? Responsible family man. Why don't you become? So then one should think of at least socially trying to make an arrangement that they are cared for, because otherwise the law will make some difficulties. Or if it is completely impossible, one should actually this was not good what I said. One should divorce. If it is a demon, if the wife is a demon and the children are demons, what is the use of staying and being exploited? But usually it is not so bad. Family members are more or less innocent, and there's some materialistic influence. That's all. So in that case, we should try to fulfill our social obligations, and then later we can have more. And as we have more and more association with Vaishnavas, Krishna will make an arrangement. This is the main point in my answer. Become yourself more and more Krishna conscious, and Krishna usually makes an arrangement. Because if you divorce, this is very heavy. So much pain in the heart. So let Krishna make the arrangement. Let Krishna make the divorce. Divorce means you stay more and more with Vaishnavas, and one day you leave the family. But now you are 52. I think you should think about these things in any case, how to make more spiritual advancement. Because it is very obvious you can do more spiritual advancement. You're a very enthusiastic person. One can see you dance very nicely. Then you're also you're still very healthy. You have no problems. Little problems maybe, but all in all, you can practice a disciplined spiritual life. In old age, this is much difficult. So you should now have your training. You didn't have brahmachari training. So now you must make this up, you know. You're still a young boy in spiritual life who didn't went to school. It's not good for life, but you have to go to school. You don't, as of yet, know reading and writing. That means the ABC of spiritual life you have to learn. Thank you.